Columbus.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
The Blue Jackets get a huge win last night over the Carolina Hurricanes, and in doing so, they keep pace in the Eastern Conference playoff race. Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McElligan, Jody Shelley with you. Jody, the Blue Jackets have gotten points now 10 straight games. They've done it in so many different ways, but I'll tell you, last night was pretty impressive against the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, I know you're going to tell me, don't get so excited, there are points of that game where if it goes a different way, maybe it's different, but it wasn't. No. And the Blue Jackets went after the Carolina Hurricanes. I'll be honest, I was nervous about that game going into it because Carolina always plays well against the Blue Jackets. They use that speed. They use that tenacity. They shoot the puck from anywhere on the ice at all times. And yet the Blue Jackets played their game. And Rick Bonus said it yesterday morning. He said, I want to see how they handle our pressure. They didn't handle it very well. The Blue Jackets win at 5-1. To me, that's one of the most impressive wins of the season so far.
Well, you think about the group in the locker room. That's and Olivia said it in his post game interview. That's a measuring stick. That's the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's a team that's always building for more in the playoffs. And I thought the Blue Jackets out Carolina. They really did. I mean, it was that type of game. They were ready to go right from the opening shift. Cole Sillinger's first shift with Olivier and Coyle. It was a puck in the corner. It was contact. It was two chances at the net. And Werenski checked forward at the blue line when the puck was coming out. And I was like, oh, this is different. And they were quicker to pucks. They all battled. Jet was good when he had to be. They took advantage of opportunities, which how many games have we seen this season where you get the opportunity with the power play and it hasn't, and you look back and you say, wow, if we would have scored on that 4-minute power play, it would have been a different game. Everything went right. I was so impressed with how they played right to the buzzer. I mean, right to the final. They were up 5-1. They still were blocking shots, sticks, and lanes. There's a real attention to detail with this team. And I think that's where Carolina in the past, or even currently, that's where they beat teams, is in those little tiny moments within the game. And the Blue Jackets have it. They have it right now. And it is something that teams desperately try to find in the regular season to put themselves in this position. And the Blue Jackets, with the coaching change, immediately found their identity. And I'm going to use that word because it's true. And they, you have Boone Jenner, the captain, playing on the fourth line center. He'll accept any role that you'll give him. There's value in that. Fabro's playing a different game. Everyone's slotted in well. And you talked about the winning points in 10 straight games. When the break ended and the Blue Jackets got back to playing hockey with the rest of the league, they were 4 points out. They've got points in all these games, and they're 1 point out. I mean, everybody is winning in the East. And I was in Detroit 2 nights ago, and there was a lot of tension in the air in Detroit because they're a team that's being chased. They have injuries now. They haven't had them all year. I think they have 56 man games lost compared to Florida, which has 350-something. And they're getting hit with Larkin out. USA gold medalist at the Olympics, their number one center. Kopp is out, their number two center. And Rasmussen is out, their number four center. All penalty killers. And the Blue Jackets are getting healthy. Good Branson played last night. Like this, there is a lot of apprehension. And Detroit has Ottawa, Montreal, and Boston are their next three games. Pay attention closely because this might be where they fall and the Blue Jackets jump.
The Blue Jackets also totally ignored my theory that they have problems with a goalie who catches with his right hand last night. But they do. We've seen it against Logan Thompson and, in Washington. They got two guys that catch like that. Brandon Bussey, the first time they played him in Carolina, Bussey got the win in that game. And I know every time I see one
Charlie
of those guys.
Lindgren.
Yeah, Charlie Lindgren. That's the other guy. And I know that I always say to you, look out, got a full right guy tonight. They didn't care. In fact, those two goals that they took to him, they took it to his blocker side, the two power play goals early on, and just went right after that guy. Danton Heinen really went after him when he
clipped him,
tripped him, got away with whatever, and they get that one. And I think if you look back on it, that's probably the turning point of the game right there, don't you think?
100%.
Because it's 2-1. Carolina just gets a goal from Svechnikov. They've got momentum. They're starting to roll for the first time in that game, and all of a sudden, they're down by two again.
This isn't a rush team or a reliant on a rush team anymore. And I think that factors in with the optics of the goaltender. And he made some great saves. If it wasn't for Bussey in the first period, this score could have been double digits in my mind because the Blue Jackets were coming, and he did a really good job. I thought he did a really good job of sealing that short side, glove side for him with Coyle in the first period. I think Olivier tried to go there in the first period. But you look at the goals, they're not rush goals. I know the one was it the Olivier goal where Charlie Coyle challenged the defenseman one-on-one.
What a play that was.
And then he had it was a one-on-two.
Yeah.
But to me, and I said it in our broadcast, that line plays close and quick, like every line does. You'll see, like, Olivier is there because he's working to get there, you know? And in the defensive zone especially, they've been so impressive with being close to each other. It's hard to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. And I feel great about that. They should feel amazing. And the sense of pride, I mean, Rick Bonus, he's done a lot with this team. But mostly coaching the finer points of the game, like making sure when you don't have the puck and the opposition is trying to make a play to someone who thinks they're getting the puck, you're already there. You know, there was no time and space. That's why I said the Blue Jackets out Carolina. They did.
Yeah, they absolutely did. You know, you were just talking about when Rick Bonus came in here, and remember that first press conference. He said, I see a team that has potential, a team that's not playing the way it needs to, and they could really make something happen here. And I'm like, you're in last place in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you're dead. You're dead to the world here. It's January 12th, and it's great to think that you're in it, which if you looked at the points, you were. But you had to catch fire. But the turnaround to me, it's been I know you have these bumps all the time when you get a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more than that. As you said, this is a complete buy-in by the guys that are here. And quite frankly, looking back at it now, hindsight being 2020, this looks like a group that was starved for what they now have.
Yeah, it's you have to credit Don Waddell because when he made that decision, you know, you're thinking they're coming off a win against Utah Mammoth. They've severely underachieved to that point, especially after last year missing by 2 points. For him to understand where this team should have been in the race to be in the playoffs and not just wait to the break and kind of take a breath and hope that things would be better, he made a change. And to watch Rick Bonus encourage, coach, instruct, and get to know these players as people, even with Jake Christensen, who didn't play the other night, you know, practice ends. Jake has to do extra work with Zamula and Wood and the other guys, Voronkov, the guys that aren't playing. He took Jake Christensen aside and you know, had a moment with him just as a person. And I remember being in that situation. It's like, it goes a long way. You know what I mean? You don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the odd man out, but he has a way with everybody, and watching him on the bench when I'm at ice level at home with the Blue Jackets here, it's very impressive to see how he still instructs, and he'll identify a play that, you know, didn't go right for the line that's on the ice, and he'll tell the group that's on the bench, he'll coach them with that and be like, let's not try to make that play, let's try to make this play. So it's they're all in it together. And that's really why they're having these outcomes.
Well, everything that's going on right now is absolutely great. And coming up next, I'm going to go back in time because we have another alumni weekend coming up this weekend.
Who do you got?
Lyle Odelein.
No way.
was your very first captain here. Yeah. And before I talk to Lyle, I wanted to ask you if you have any good Lyle Oudelein stories. Arable Lyle Oudelein
stories. He is one of the most character people you'll ever meet. He was a Stanley Cup champion with the Montreal Canadiens. And one thing Doug McLean did extremely well is he had character guys here, and it was led by Lyle Oudelein. I have so many Lyle Oudelein stories, but I remember when I first got to Columbus, he loved playing Golden Tee, the video game. And every practice, after practice, we'd have to meet with Lyle and play Golden Tee. And I'm thinking, I got a game tomorrow. You know, I don't want to be playing Golden Tee all afternoon till 7 in the afternoon. And there might have been refreshments involved, but I would have done whatever Lyle Oudelein was going to do. I was staying with Lyle Oudelein as long as he was there. He was a great leader, a great friend, and it'll be nice to have him back in the area this weekend.
Yeah, he will be here for the game on Saturday against the Seattle Kraken, but I had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the week, and I'll have that interview for you coming up in just a few minutes. I also want to remind you that you can get the best seats to the biggest games with a Blue Jackets ticket plan for 2026-27. Choose the matchups that you want. The plans start at 11 games. You can save up to 40%, plus receive guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets, along with flexible payment options. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, continues after this on 97.1 The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hey, Columbus.
Follow the Buckeyes to the tournament. Adam and Nicole hit the road for all the action.
Sponsored by Logan Services. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Keep it locked on 10TV, 10TV Plus, in your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now, we got a couple of small clippers in the forecast. One comes through on Thursday with about a 20% chance of a rain shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies, highs in the middle 50s across central Ohio. On Friday, another clipper with about a 30% chance of rain showers, and warmer on Friday with middle 60s. And Friday's also the first day of spring. Saturday, very nice, a lot of sunshine and nearing 70. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan, and joining me right now is the first ever captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets, a man that is coming back this weekend for Alumni Weekend. It'll be the last one of this 25th anniversary season. Lyle Oudelein is with me right now. And Lyle, first of all, I just want to say thanks for taking some time for me and for the Blue Jackets fans who have been enjoying this 25th anniversary season. Can you believe it was 25 years ago you came to Columbus?
Well, no, it's hard to believe, but it's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing, and it's been a great season as it's turned out. But I want to turn back the clock for you. I mean, by the time you came to Columbus, you had a ton of NHL experience. You were Stanley Cup winner with the Montreal Canadiens. You'd been in New Jersey. You'd been in Phoenix. When the Blue Jackets came in and you wound up a part of a group that was, it was kind of a ragtag group, but it was a group, as I've talked with Tyler Wright and Jean-Luc Grandpierre and Jody Shelley and all these other guys that were here at that time. It was a group that kind of was on a mission because many of them felt, and I don't know if you did, many of them felt like, you know, somebody else didn't want me. And so here I am with this group of guys. So let's see if we can make this work.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But I thought Doug McLean did a really, really nice job putting the team together with all the character guys we had. And Cameron was a phenomenal coach. So we were lucky. I mean, I think we only missed the playoffs by 5 points that year. But we were close to making the playoffs that first year, but Doug did a hell of a job putting the team together.
You talked about character, and you could say there were characters on that team, but just tell me, what's so important about that in hockey? I still don't think the average fan understands that, you know, this is a sport where, yeah, it's great if you have the best players, there's no doubt about that, but you don't have to have superstars. If you have character guys and you have pieces that fit together, you can do some great things here.
No, that's totally a good question. I agree with you totally. But you have to have a lot of heart. And if you're going up against somebody that's maybe has an edge in you, you know, you play, you rise to your challenge, and you get the better play out of all the guys. It's like, I was surprised when I made the World Cup in 96 with all great players and stuff, but you raise your game, and that's what character and heart does for you.
When you came in here, were there other guys that you knew that you were close to that wound up as part of this team, or were you kind of, was everybody kind of feeling it out?
Well, I played with Tugnutt in Montreal, so I knew him, and the other guys I really didn't know too much about, because we come from all different teams, as you know. So it was a fun experience, and it was great to know all the guys, and we clicked right away. So I thought that was that's credit to Doug McLean and Mike Kinger and stuff, and we all come together, and it was my time in Columbus. I absolutely loved it.
You mentioned Ron Tugnutt, and you were just talking about characters. That's a character guy. As a goalie, a character is a goalie, which is rare, isn't it?
Well, I'd say so, but yeah, Tugger was a little prankster, and you know, you play with Waugh, he was different. You play with Brodeur, he was different. They're all so different, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, you mentioned Dave King a couple of times, and he being the first coach of this team. We had him in for the very first alumni night back in the fall, and this is a guy that was just a teacher, really, at heart, right?
Yep. But he knew the game unbelievable. I mean, Kinger was awesome, and you know, our assistant coach Gerard Glant, New Brown, and I mean, we had a good staff.
Would you when you look at that first team, first of all, what was it like to be named the leader of that group? Because there had to be a first captain in franchise history. I don't know if you're looking at it as history at the time, but you were that guy. Was that an honor for you to be the designated leader?
Oh my gosh, it was a total honor, and you know, I was surprised, and I wasn't surprised, but I wore a letter everywhere I was. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, Kevin Nadine could. I mean, we had a lot of guys that stepped up and could have been a captain too.
What is the responsibility of a captain? And well, I know kind of what it is. You're the leader on and off the ice. You're the go-between the head coach and the players and all of those things. But I guess my real question is it different on an expansion team just because there are so many unknowns and just because, as I said, it's you're not looking at, hey, this guy's been here for 5 years and this guy's been here for 10 years. And yeah, everybody's new to the whole thing. Does that make that experience a little different?
It does, because every year you're playing on the same team, you're coming back and you're seeing the same guys, except for maybe one or two guys. So there's always a spot or two that is open. But like I said, I mean, you have to meet like Sanderson, I didn't know, and all, Jamie Pusher, and all these guys. And all of a sudden, you know, we grew really quick together. So we all come together. And I said, that's Doug McLean that brought the team in, and he did a great job.
Okay, but when you're talking about come together, that's also the job of a captain. So what kind of things did you try to do to make that group come together?
You know, like we'd go for lunches and stuff, or if we're on the road. We had a close team, and everybody liked to be together, and some teams aren't that way. And, you know, we all got together and we all had fun. We didn't have any cliques, you know, whether it was Russians or Finns or U.S. or Canada. We all just become one happy big family, and I think that's credit to our whole team.
And we're talking about the fact that there are so many players that came in from other teams, but then also with an expansion team, then you have young players too, and they're kind of trickling in here and there at the very beginning. So that's another dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's probably harder than those guys at the start too. But we, like I said, we all gelled at the right time, and we had a hell of a year.
What do you remember the most about that year and about coming here, brand new arena, brand new franchise? I know you come here rather frequently, so you know what the downtown looks like right now. You should have seen some of the guys that haven't been here for years, and they came into the downtown, and they were like, who was it? Pascal Leclerc said, I needed a GPS to find the rink. I wasn't sure where I was supposed to go. So, you know, it's all grown up now, but back at that time, it was pretty bare bones.
Yeah, it was. Downtown wasn't the cleanest or safest place. I lived out in New Albany, Easton area. But when I come into Columbus and talk to Doug, and I fell in love with the city right away. And if I was a guy that was getting drafted or wanted to be traded, I mean, you'd be willing to look at Columbus, because you know, the place is great. The fans are awesome. It's a great city. It's someplace that I would love to play if I was starting out again.
Now, that's the other thing I was going to ask you about is the fans, and especially in those early years. And there was a great bond between you and the fans. I'm going to tell you, Lyle, when you're at the luncheon on Friday, I guarantee you, you're going to have people there that have been 25 year season ticket holders. We've had them at every one of these things. And I think that's a great testament to those people, because many of those years have been pretty lean years here. But I think it's that bond that the early team and the early teams actually was able to create with that fan base. And how much did that bond mean to you when you were playing here?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, like I said, I told you this before, one of the greatest places I've ever played. And the fans, like I said, there's been some thick and thin years and some good years. And, you know, for being 25, 26 years now, it's like, wow, and they're still there. And it's just awesome.
All right. You have any good stories, any good arable stories you can tell me about any of your teammates in those early years?
Oh, gosh. Gotta have to think about that for a while. Well, I can tell you.
I'll bet you don't. You have to think about the arable ones, not the unarable ones, right?
Yeah, right. So, no, it's all good.
Were there any games or any moments that you can remember as being big moments, especially for a young team that, and you mentioned that you were overachievers in that first year, without question. Do you remember any moments during that season where it was kind of like, man, we got a good thing going here?
Yeah, I think after Christmas and stuff, you know, we were like, wow, I think, you know, we got a shot to make the playoffs. And obviously you want to make the playoffs and you're there to win the cup. But our goal is just to make the playoffs and get in. And we were close. But if we had a little better start, I think we would have snuck in.
You know, what's funny is you talk about that. And at that time, it was almost unthinkable that an expansion team in its first year could get to the playoffs. And boy, how things have changed in those 25 years. We saw what the Vegas Golden Knights did when they came into the league, right? I mean, the landscape, it's completely different now.
Right, yeah, because they could take the best players, too. So, obviously, they were set right off the bat. I mean, some guys, well, like you just said, like other teams didn't want them. And then you're trying to make a team out of everybody there. So, the moves are unbelievable. And I remember every time we played Detroit, I think they were winning the Cups back in those years. And we basically beat them almost every game. So it's just funny and weird how that works.
Tonight I'm joined by the very first captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Lyle Oderline. He will be in for Alumni Weekend on Saturday when the Blue Jackets take on the Seattle Kraken. I'll have more with Lyle right after this as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues on 97.1 The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. One more play-by-play.
Yay!
It's on the Fan, too. March Madness, Reds Baseball, Ohio State Athletics, and much more. Find the Fan, too, on the Fan's HD2 channel. And 1460 on the AM dial. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. My guest tonight is the very first captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Lyle Oderline. Lyle will be back in town this weekend as the Blue Jackets celebrate their 25th anniversary. You know, the hockey in Columbus really was solidified by the minor league teams that played here. And I know that right before the Blue Jackets came, the Columbus Chill was the latest installment of that. And I worked in the East Coast Hockey League, and I was on the team with Jody Shelley, and I knew what it was like to come into Columbus and see all those fights that were going on and all that stuff. Well, the NHL was still like that in those days when you first came in here. And we were talking about that bond with the fans. And I think that the toughness element that you guys brought really helped to make that bond really quick stick with them.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Doug brought in Jody Shelley, and obviously we need a little bit more help. You know, Pusher could fight, and we had some guys, Kevin Dineen could fight, and Norm's going to lay down for anybody. So that was a big thing, too, and you always want to stick up for your teammates. And, like, I liked the game back in the day when I was playing, because you got in a fight or you had a hat trick, they cheered more for the fight.
They're still like that, Lyle. They really are.
I know.
It doesn't happen nearly as often, but when you come in, ask Matthew Olivier how much they cheer for the fight still.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, he's a tough boy. I remember getting a hat trick in Montreal one night, and I got an unbelievable fight. I think it was maybe with Tony Twist or something, and we were all out afternoon. They said, wow, what a great fight. I said, what about my hat trick? Oh, we don't want you to score.
I'm talking with Lyle Oderline. He was the very first captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He'll be back in town this weekend for Alumni Weekend. All right. What was it like for you when you were traded away from the Blue Jackets, the team you come in, you join from the very beginning, you're the captain, and then you get to March of 2002, and Doug comes to you and says, hey, we're sending you off to the Chicago Blackhawks. What was that like for you?
It was hard to get traded after coming in, but on the flip side, you look at it, it was a great trade for Columbus. I mean, they got a good player in the second round pick, and Doug was building the team to make it better, so it just comes with the territory, and you never want to leave. But then going to Chicago, you know, you have another chance to win a cup, and there's pros and cons, and that goes both ways.
Yeah, you were right. Yaroslav Spachek is the guy that they got along with a second-round pick in that trade. So you're right. That made the blue line better.
That did. No question about it. And you got a second-round pick, and I don't know who they drafted, but it was a good move for Columbus.
After Chicago, you went on, you played with Dallas, Florida, and then finished in Pittsburgh, where you're still living, as a matter of fact, as you finished your career with the Penguins. At that point, as it got down to those final years, it's interesting to hear from guys when they knew it was kind of time. When it was time for you, did you know?
Oh, yeah. I was definitely, though I blew my knee out for the third time, and I definitely knew I was done. So, I mean, I come up in 89, retired in 06, and then your body just wears out, and you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but a fantastic career and a Stanley Cup ring to go along with it, right?
Yeah, I have no regrets at all. And like I said, I can move back to Columbus tomorrow and be happy, just as happy there as here.
All right, well, you know what? Speaking of your body breaking down, look, Lyle, I'm happy that I'm just getting a chance to talk to you. I'm happy I'm going to get a chance to see you this weekend because a couple of years ago, you went through your own health scare, and it was kind of touch and go there. What is your life like now after that situation? Is there like a you before and a you after?
Well, I think so. You appreciate life a lot more, and you look at it in different ways, and you just realize that how fast time goes by, and it could have been shorter than instead of longer. And it changed my life quite a bit.
You know, we were talking before we started doing this interview, and you were talking about this year's edition of the Blue Jackets and how much you watch them and you appreciate them. And what are your feelings about this team? Because we have so many feelings here, and we're watching them pick up points in 10 straight games and still be out of the playoff picture, which is almost incredible. But it is what it is, right? So what are your thoughts about this team and where they stand right now?
Well, I think it's great. And I think, the coach who you guys brought in, he was my assistant coach in Arizona, and he's done a fabulous job. So, and I know the guys, they have to love him because there's what not to love. So, I mean, so they made a change, and it was for the better, obviously, and hopefully they get in and make some noise in the playoffs.
Are you shocked, though, every day you look at the scores and the standings, and you see, as I said, you're living in Pittsburgh, and, you know, we're hoping that they're going to lose every day. They go out to Colorado and drop 7 on the Avalanche. What the heck is going on there? And you got the Bruins going to overtime, it seems, every single game, and it's crazy. But you've been through this at this time of the year, and I think what's hard to grasp is there are 15 games left. And I think as a fan, you look at it and you go, we're still not in there. But 15 games means there's still 30 points on the table, right?
Yep. So you just take it one game at a time, one shift at a time, and Rick Bonus will have those guys fired up again. Columbus is going to be tough to beat down the stretch.
Is it when you're a player in that situation, do you look at it the same way? I mean, is it hard to take it one day at a time?
I don't think so. This is something that you have to deal with every day. So it's you look at it and say, yeah, it's going to be a grind. And what can I do to maybe get us an extra point here or there? And you kind of live for that moment.
Kind of funny. You were talking about Rick Bonus and your experience with him in Phoenix as an assistant coach. He is, we talked about Dave King being a teacher. Rick Bonus is very, very much a teacher. And, it's funny. The ebbs and flows of coaching, right? It seems like you have a guy who's a hard ass, and then you bring in a guy who's more of a nice guy and a pat you on the back kind of guy. And Rick is that, but he's not that to me. You know what I mean? He's like, he'll pat you on the back until you need a kick in the butt. And then he's right there to do that. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. No, I think that's what makes him so successful. I mean, he's a good coach. There's no question about it. And, like I said, if you guys get in there, there's going to be some teams that won't want to play you.
Do you find it odd that a 71-year-old man is thriving as much as he is in the National Hockey League?
Well, I mean, everybody likes the game, and some people love it more, obviously, but he's good at what he does, so I'm so happy for him, and I know he loves Columbus because I know everybody does that goes there, so it's just great.
Well, and to your point on that, there are so many players that are now making their home here. There are guys that are still playing in the league that are definitely going to make their home here, like Nick Foligno. When he's done playing, he's already got the house built. And again, from what you said, that doesn't surprise you whatsoever, does it? Do you think that's a trend that's just going to continue?
Oh, I think it's going to get, well, a big trend. I think people have realized even when you're playing on the road and you come down there and all the great restaurants and how clean the city is, and I think it's the 14th largest city in North America right now. So when it's a young city with a lot of young money, and it's a great place to raise a family.
You know what's kind of funny, too? You talked about when you were here, you were out in the New Albany, Easton area. Yeah. This is my 17th year here, Lyle, and I've watched things go from when I first got here, there were a lot of guys going out to Dublin out near Muirfield, and then there were a lot of guys that were going to Upper Arlington and living there. But guess where they all are now? Guess where the majority is back to now after 25 years?
Downtown.
No, back to New Albany, baby.
Are they really?
They are back to New Albany. A lot of the guys that have young families are not only living in New Albany, but get this, living in the same development where they're seeing each other, where they're on the street, walking their kids and taking them to the park. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's great. I thought New Albany was phenomenal when I played there, and we loved the whole Easton area, and Cameron Mitchell, all those great restaurants and stuff. So that doesn't surprise me.
Lyle, again, we're looking forward to having you. Thanks for giving me some time to tell me some old stories here and talk about you, and it's going to be great. Hey, are there any guys in your group that you're looking forward to seeing? Like, it's kind of the group is varied. Like, Rick Nash is in it, but then, you know, Fetter Tootin, Jack Johnson, guys that you didn't play with, but it's kind of spanning some generations. Are you looking forward to talking to some of those other guys?
Oh, definitely, and I think Castle is going to be there too, isn't he?
Yeah, Castle's will be there. That's right.
Montreal.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be fun to see him and meet all the rest of the guys and stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys sharing stories at that luncheon on Friday. So, Lyle, again, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you when you get to town.
All right. Thanks so much, Bob, and I'll see you on Friday.
That is Lyle Oudelein, former first captain of the Blue Jackets, and you're listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Jody Shelley's back with me after this on 97.1 The Fan.
We're the highest-rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
Common Man here.
You're staring at a bracket right now, aren't you? Not sure who to pick? Listen to The Fan for all the expert help you need. Disclaimer. If you win your office pool, our dummies are entitled to 20% of all earnings. Thank you. The Fan. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
All grit and no quit. Tomorrow, cheer on the Blue Jackets when they take on the New York Rangers in a game presented by Nationwide. Get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com. The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McGilligan, Jody Shelley back here with you. And great talk with Lyle Oudelein, the first captain of the Blue Jackets. And Jody, you just heard me say the Rangers are coming into town. We talked in the first segment about how well the Blue Jackets played against the Carolina Hurricanes. They're the top team in the division. You cannot afford to have any let-up against the team that's at the bottom of the conference, and that's the New York Rangers. But this team is playing much better hockey. Yeah. They have nothing to play for but pride, and they got through the trade deadline, so they know who's on their team and who's not on their team, and we know how dangerous teams in those situations are.
Yeah, it's a spoiler alert, and Shesterkin is playing well again. He's healthy and playing well. Zibanejad has come to life. You know, I think those guys feel and hear their names in the trade, you know, the trade conversation. You look at Trocheck, a lot of teams are after him, but the Rangers kept him. I think it's a good move. He's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
He wins face-offs. He's a gold medalist
from the Olympics.
He's a good player.
You have him under contract.
You got to have somebody there.
You figure next year you're not going to be as bad as you are this year. You hope anyway, right?
They can change it quickly.
Right.
They're looking at Long Island and being like, we get the first overall pick. I mean, Long Island came from 10 in the draft to get one.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And San Jose came from
at the same
deep.
Time they were going to lose the All-Star game, too. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, yeah, the Rangers, you cannot, I mean, you have, that's why coaches always say, we're going to worry about our game. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that genuinely against it, doesn't matter who you're playing against, you don't worry when things don't, you don't know what's going to happen in a 60-minute game. So if you're down and you're playing the same way, you're going to get a power play, you're going to get a bounce, you're going to get a goal. You know, that's the way it works. So, and that's why games are 60 minutes, and that's why golf courses are 18 holes. And I say that all the time. And that's why a season is 82 games. Yeah. I go back to it. The 25 games in, oh, that team's done. They're out. You know, you get 55 games in. Oh, this is over. The season's done. Wait a second. Mm-hmm. There's still 15 games left for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Anything could happen.
It's 30 points.
Yeah, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. And the teams like Ottawa's getting in my opinion. I think I said it last week or the last time I was on. Columbus is going to be in. You know, Detroit's not going to make it. Detroit's not going to be in the playoffs. They have injuries, and to me, that there's a playoff style of hockey that I see that Pittsburgh is playing. Are the Islanders playing it? I think so. They've got an old enough team with a young enthusiasm from Schaefer. Carolina's going to be there in the Metropolitan, but I think the Blue Jackets, I think they get ahead of the Islanders or Pittsburgh, but I see them, Bob, I think it's going to be a Pittsburgh-Columbus first-round matchup.
I hope it is.
I think it is.
I really do. And I hope it is for a number of reasons. Number one, just to be there. To be anywhere is great, right?
Yeah.
Just be in. But I think we've talked about this. If you can get in, there is nothing that's cut and dry in this conference.
And look at this team. There's no young guys on this team.
Yeah.
Matejczuk, okay, he's inexperienced. Yeah. He's got 11 goals on the season.
Right.
He's up for any challenge. He's fearless the way he plays. That decor is a veteran. You know, and it's going to be up to Zamula and Christensen at times to come in a playoff run.
And it's funny because if you look at that six right now,
yeah.
I mean, the only guy that pops is Werenski. You know, really, yeah. As a superstar, obviously.
And he's not up to 100%.
No,
we haven't
not
seen
even
Zach
close.
Werenski from pre-Olympic break to being sick to getting on top of his game.
I
but
saw
he will.
A flash in Florida, and then it was gone.
He's still not right.
I know. No, I get it. You're right. But my point is, you see him, and then you see everybody else, and you think, okay, well, they're okay, but the way they're playing, they're more than okay.
They're a unit.
Yeah.
They're a unit. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of hockey around the league. The East is open.
Mm-hmm.
The East is, this isn't about getting the playoffs and being like, yeah, and then done in a week. This is a special year. And I thought last year was a special year with the tragedy this team dealt with and how they dealt with circumstances, this whole organization and city. But now, missing by 2 points, that could have been the best thing for this group because it is, they know, now they know, they're like, okay, this is who we are. And all the first part of the year, they were confused as to why is it like this, and as they push in this push towards the playoffs, you look at teams who use an 82 game season the right way, and this could be one of those seasons where you look at what the Blue Jackets, how the process has gone, new coach, dealt with injuries of top players, new players have come in and found bigger roles than they've had in their career. Kept veterans at the deadline where at one point, and when they were bottom of the Eastern Conference, Coyle was not going to probably be here as a UFA. You go get more prospects. And what's Zach Werenski thinking at that time when it's like, oh, we have to wait another two seasons. Who are we going to get? This is the spirit of this team is big. And the goaltending to me, Jack Greaves settles it down more than Elvis Merzlikins. And I think Elvis, he's a valuable piece because he can get in there and let Jet rest. But Jet is going to be like one of those young goaltenders that come in and make their mark. Cam Ward was that goaltender for Carolina when they won the Stanley Cup.
It's funny you say that because I've been wondering here. You've looked at how they played him. Jet went two games in a row. Elvis went two games in a row. Jet has just gone two games in a row again. I tried to ask Nick Backstrom about this in an interview the other day, and he was very, you know, who he is, coy about it.
Yeah.
But you also have to be preparing somebody for when you get there, because you're not going to rotate guys when you get there. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad it's what you
calmer
think.
In the D zone when Jet's in the net.
Mm-hmm.
And Elvis is a battler. He likes that chaos, but Jet is good in chaos too. He's very good in chaos.
Well, he's come up in chaos. That's all in the American Hockey League. You know, you were there. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is.
This is his first full year in the National Hockey League, and he is a piece. Every game he wins, or every time he's in the net and they win, he is a part of the team. And what I mean by that is the rebounds aren't flushed out to the middle of the ice ever. Rarely.
Yeah.
They're in tight, in a range where everyone, it's almost like they expect, they know where the rebound's going to end up. Mm-hmm. And there's a fluidity to their game when it's there. So, listen, there's a calculated, there's calculation to how they're playing him and how they're watching him. It's so smart. This team's in great shape. And there is nobody they fear. Yeah. And again, when I travel, I talk to, everyone, first thing when I get to a different market, they say, how about the Blue Jackets? They're going to get in. I'm like, you have no idea. This is a good team.
Yeah.
It's a good team. They're tough as a team. They play hard. They've got enough experience. This isn't a young team. I mean, who are the young guys? Okay. Kent Johnson. It's been 4 years in the league.
Right.
This is Cole Sillinger's fifth year in the league. This is Matejchuk's first real season in the National Hockey League. Okay. Jet Greaves. Mm-hmm. Now let's go outside of that. You've done a really good job of picking up players like Heinen. Very good. He's been a very good acquisition. Lundstrom. I mean, he's almost like a defenseman that you don't talk about because he just does everything kind of the exact right way defensively. Mm-hmm. Even last night in that game, they're up 5-1 and, you think it's 2 minutes left in the game. And Lundstrom is on the wing, and there's a play up the wall, but he feels like he's a step late, so he's not going to chance it to go after the puck to keep in the offensive zone. He gets in a defensive posture, and it ends up keeping the puck in the offensive zone. And it's like, that's a computer that thinks positionally sound, and that's hard to play against. So maybe I sound bullish, but I honestly feel this way about this team, that they're going to make the playoffs. And to me, Detroit's not going to make it. And
this is what I was going to say.
I don't know who
before
Ottawa,
we close it out. Who's the other team?
The other team might be Montreal.
Okay.
The other team that doesn't make it might be Montreal.
Okay.
And I only say that because they made it last year because no one grabbed it. And they, Carolina went in their last game, didn't dress the regulars. They got in. Okay. And then they had a first round exit against Washington. They're still very, very young. And there's a lot of pressure in that market and expectations this year to make the playoffs because of what they did last year. To me, Ottawa, if they can get the saves, they're just a little bit older and they play tougher and they're harder to play against at times. And they don't just rely on scoring goals.
All right. There you have
it. That's my hot take.
That's what I wanted. Your hot take. Thank you, Jody. Always enjoy it. And safe travels to you.
Thanks, buddy. Go Jackets.
That'll do it for the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Thanks to Lau Odeline for being on the show tonight. Thanks to Jody Shelley, and thanks to you, as always, for being there. The Blue Jackets are back at home tomorrow. They take on the New York Rangers at 7 o'clock. Our pregame coverage will begin at 6:30 tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott. So long, and thanks for listening to the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, Columbus, big
casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore.